They have a passion for local produce and seasonal ingredients, and in 2016 set out on an adventure to bring people together through food and fire. The Salt Box, run by Becky Wingrove and Christian Armstrong, offers creative, open fire catering, pop-up dining and foodie courses. Last week, they won Newcomer of the Year at the Surrey Life Food and Drinks Award. In the studio to talk about what makes the Salt Box so unique is Becky. Hello, Becky. Good morning.
Good morning.
Now, Becky, congratulations, first of all, on winning. It must have been an amazing thing. Did you actually enter the competition yourself, or did you have someone enter it for you? How does it work?
So the first round of the competition was very much the public that voted. So lots of our customers must have kind of nominated us, which is...
That's very gratifying,
indeed,
isn't it?
Indeed, indeed.
And then
the
so
second round was a judge.
Oh, brilliant. So you've won this fantastic award. Take us back, though, to the beginning, because it was only 2016, wasn't it? And how did the Salt Box actually start out? I heard Billy Goats had something to do with it.
Indeed. So Christian and I actually met through a mutual friend. And from the very beginning, we started talking about wanting to create unique dining experiences, showcasing local Surrey ingredients, really. And we actually met through an event regarding Billy Goats. We were raising awareness of the Billy Goat meat, which is often seen as a byproduct of the dairy industry. So from that, we decided that, you know, we'd keep running events. We've both got a massive passion for the outdoors, cooking over fire, and we wanted to share that. And we found that more and more local businesses wanted to kind of partner with us. And a year later, we've kind of welcomed 2,000 guests around our shared dining tables and hosted 20 supper clubs. So it's been a pretty incredible year, really.
Tell us about this collaboration, though, because you and Christian, from reading about you, you're quite different in a lot of respects, aren't you? You're quite a keen traveller. And Christian, he loves spending time outside in the woodland in the Surrey Hills, doesn't he? And so what is it you think about your personalities that's created this kind of unique connection, really, between the two of you?
So Christian's been a chef since he was 16. I have always had a big passion for food, but was in marketing and events, so a very different field. So I think kind of the working together has been fantastic because we both bring very different things to the table and have very kind of distinct roles. Christian, like you said, you know, he's got a big passion for the Surrey Hills. Grew up just outside of Leith Hill, and I grew up actually in Italy, so I've got more of a kind of global background, I suppose, but pair them together and it seems to work.
And that's the thing, you have this shared goal, don't you, to focus on local, sustainable, ethical ingredients cooked over fire. And to get people to really connect with what's on their plate, that's your sort of mission, isn't it?
Indeed, and our events are very much as much about the food as they are the experience. You know, we're really big on shared dining, bringing people around our tables in unique venues, and kind of getting old friends and new together. We're really lucky because we've welcomed a really eclectic mix of people to our events, which all bring something really unique to the table. And many of them have actually come back with their new friends to other events of ours, which is really heartwarming. It's kind of one of my favourite parts of the events is watching people forge new relationships at our tables.
And that focus, that cooking experience of knowledge of locally sourced ingredients, that's at the core, really, isn't it?
It is indeed. We're really lucky to have such a great range of local producers in and around Surrey. So we primarily aim to source and use those ingredients. We work directly with lots of independent suppliers, and they're all really dedicated to what we all eat. There's nothing we love more than visiting our suppliers, putting our wellies on and going to see them. It makes for a pretty good day out.
And they're very collaborative as well, because when I was trying to track you down, I wanted to track you down really quickly, just wait, because I read about you winning. I just thought, I've got to get you on. And I couldn't find a number really quickly. And then I saw your Facebook entry about who you use, the Dorking Butchery.
Indeed.
And I rang them up. Dan, thank you very much, Dan. A big shout out to him, because he just gave me your number, and that's the thing, it's such a collaboration.
Indeed, we're really lucky to work with the Dorking Butchery and many other local suppliers, including kind of Tillingbourne Trout, Etherley Farm, Priory Farm, and it's really the collaborations with all of those people that have got us to where we are today. They share a lot of our passions and have been really helpful in our growth so far.
And people are really wanting to buy into this locally sourced idea. Do you think that perhaps supermarkets are at fault here? I mean, the fact that they only provide certain cuts of meat or certain types of fish that are available, are they driven by the demands of the consumer, or do you think they dictate the agenda? Why do you think we've got to this point where everyone's so hungry for something local and sustainable?
I think it's a little bit of both, to be honest, but at the moment I think it is very much the supermarkets that are dictating what's on our plate, and that drives a lot of what we do. You know, we are very nose to tail and root to fruit. We use a lot of ingredients that people might not have eaten before or not know how to cook, and through our events we also aim to have an educational side of things whereby we, you know, enlighten people to some really incredible ingredients that maybe they would have turned their noses up before.
Absolutely. I remember getting a cookery book from the library, actually, a Spanish one I think it was, and there were loads of ingredients in there that I just knew if I just went to the supermarket, I just couldn't get them. Oxtail and other things. Those cuts of meat that perhaps have gone out of fashion, but the value, the flavour of these things are amazing. And you don't want to be wasting. If you're going to eat an animal, let's be honest, you want to honour the entire part of it, don't you?
Absolutely, and that's why we always source our meat through local butchers and directly through suppliers. You know, a lot of the ingredients, meat-wise, we actually couldn't get in a supermarket, even if we tried to. We've got a supper club coming up, which is a nose-to-tail supper club, and that is using some rare breed pork from friends of ours who actually rear pigs in Reigate, and we're using kind of every part of the animal to showcase that it's not just the prime cuts that we should be eating. Christian and I are very conscious about eating meat. We don't actually eat that much meat, and when we do, it's only when we know exactly where it's come from and how it's been reared.
I think that's a very good ethos to have. Now let's talk a little bit more about the variety of experiences that you offer. You have highlighted some of them. You've got pop-up events that you do, you have courses, you have bespoke catering. All of it, the common thread is it involves cooking over an open fire. Tell us about the charm of that.
So cooking over fire is incredibly important to us, and for us we really love the immersive nature of feasts over fire, as we call them. Cooking in this way can be quite challenging, but it's also quite theatrical, so our guests really feel the heat. You know, they can smell the aromas and they actually feel part of the experience. It also takes a little bit longer, which can be either relaxing or stressful depending on what time of year and day. But it's a lot more relaxing for us most of the time, and it's really exciting because people really, yeah, they do get involved as well.
You've actually said somewhere or other that cooking over an open fire is the oldest and most primitive method of cooking, but not many people know how to do it properly. So that's presumably half the thing, isn't it, that people are going to learn by watching you in an enjoyable environment.
Indeed. You know, we believe that food ought to be simple, and ours is really. You know, it's seasoned with smoke and a few select spices. We're very conscious that a lot of people don't get the experience to cook a lot, or don't have much confidence in that. So in everything that we do, we aim to encourage people to get back into the kitchen or come and join us for a course.
And what about the whole idea of food waste? Because that's another thing that you're very, very keen to try and eradicate or reduce at the very least. Your aim is to show how to make use of leftovers instead of generating that food waste, which is so prevalent in our society, isn't it?
Absolutely. Food waste is a big, big passion of mine and Christian's, and everything that we do, we try and use all the bits, whether it is meat or fruit or vegetables. You know, there's a lot of, especially supermarkets, that dictate exactly what size vegetables should be, kind of what colour, etc., etc. And in what we do, we use everything. We, you know, use cauliflower leaves, we use the whole spring onion, and we've really had a lot of good response and people being like, oh, you know, I didn't know I could actually use that, and I'll continue to do that at home, which is really exactly what we set out to do.
Now, we've had a brilliant summer, haven't we? Eating outside was our kind of default setting, really, for this whole entire summer. But here's the thing, I'm a bit of a contradiction. I love being out and about. I love being outside. But I'm the sort of person who needs a flushable loo and a bit of Neil's Yard hand wash. How would that translate for me, someone like me, doing perhaps winter eating al fresco? Because it's easier in the summer. What's it like in the winter?
So summer was, as you said, we had such a brilliant amount of sunshine. It was really useful for us. However, it was also a little bit challenging because of the heat and the dryness. There was kind of that imminent fear that Christian was going to burn down a field or a wood. So there's quite a lot of preparation involved in ensuring that we weren't doing that, as you can imagine. Now, in the winter, you know, a lot of the venues that we use aren't necessarily 100% remote. They might be kind of sculpture gardens, farms that have facilities available that we use. It's only really our kind of breakfast in the woods that are the most rustic of them all. But I think it's all in the preparation. As long as our customers know what they've signed up for, it's all okay. But, you know, sometimes it's good to unleash and go out of your comfort zone, so to speak.
I've got an idea. See, I've got a friend who's, I know he's listening, at least I hope he's still listening. He listened in the first hour, let's hope he's listening in the second. He's got this gorgeous place near Reigate Hill, or on Reigate Hill, a beautiful Edwardian flat with lovely gardens and whatever. And I'm gunning, really, to get you guys to come and to persuade him. And is that the sort of thing that you would do for people? If someone's got a setting, you're going to eat outside. You may still have some facilities inside, so to speak, but enjoy the feeling of being outside and eating and cooking winter food.
Absolutely. We're always looking for new venues to host events in, whether they be private or public. We have lots of people who've got fantastic farms or outdoor spaces that are always keen to you know, get more visitors to come and see them and perhaps enjoy a different experience to what they're used to.
And that's the thing. People need to know the kind of things that you're offering, because having a little look on your website, well, it gets you salivating, to be quite honest. And it also gets your imagination going. So you've got borage and cobnut ravioli, which sounds amazing. I wouldn't even think of anything like that. Nettle soda bread. I love soda bread. Wouldn't think of nettle soda bread. I just look at these things and think, well, how would I navigate through one of those even with my marigolds on? And it's just that whole interest that you've really created for people. Burnt salsa. Where do these recipes come from? Where is the inspiration from?
So Christian is the brainchild of all of the food elements. He is incredibly creative. He'll sometimes write an entire four-course menu in 5 minutes, and it will be kind of, it sounds so amazing. It'll be like, oh, Becky, what do you think of that? Do you think that's okay? And I'm like, yeah, I think that will do. So I really have, you know, him to thank for all of that creativity. He does a lot of research and reading, and you know, it all comes from there, really.
Well, Christian's recipes, as you say, they're all glorious. They're all very inventive. That's the only word I can use. So I thought I'd join in, Becky. Now, I had a chef on a few months ago, Tony Tobin. He's a celebrity chef. Now, I made him a raspberry frangipane tart. And I said to him, when I made it for him, with trepidation, I have to say, when you walk out of the studio, and if you throw it in the bin, I won't know any different. So that's absolutely fine. But I wanted him to get something. So in the spirit of foraging, I foraged in my backyard this morning. No, yesterday, actually. And I got something from my patio. So I'm going to give it to you now.
Oh.
There you go. It's got a rubber band over the top. You can have that. It's a pink rubber band, by the way, listeners. We don't spare anything. Becky's looking slightly concerned. Don't worry, Becky. Don't worry. Just take it off. Take the lid off. There's some greaseproof paper. You can tell it's live.
Oh, yes.
Greaseproof paper. Now, she's looking at this. Now, it looks like a load of grass clippings, doesn't it?
Looks lemon like balm?
Well, it's interesting you say that. I think in this country it is called lemon balm. I only know it as vervain. And I had it growing in my just little pot. I've only got a little backyard. I had it growing all summer, and I love picking it fresh. It's beautiful fresh, and you'll probably know this because you've lived in Italy. It's something you'll know. And as soon as that hits boiling water, it will rehydrate and turn into what they call a tisane, I suppose, mm-hmm. don't they? So that's my gift to you.
Fantastic.
I hope you enjoy that. Now, as I say, you might walk out and think, what's this rubbish she's just bought me? I haven't bought it. I mean, brought to you. And that's fine. And I'll live with that. But I just wanted to enter into the spirit of foraging.
Oh, that's fantastic.
I think now, Becky, if people want to get in touch with you, how do they do that?
So we're very big on social media. We do a lot of our communication through there. So we're on Facebook, Instagram and Twitter at The Saltbox UK. We also have a website where we list all of our events, all of our recipes and more information about us. And that's www.wearethesaltbox.co.uk.
Well, thank you so much for sharing your philosophy with the Saltbox, and all the best for the future. I'm sure it's going to go from strength to strength. Thank you so much for being here.
Thanks for having us.
No worries. That was Becky, and to find out more, as she said, go to wearethesaltbox.co.uk, and you can also call them on 07717 319 425.